The question you had has to do with ladies covering their heads or not in the meetings when you come together to pray and praise the Lord and preach and teach.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to the beginning. When Adam and Eve lost the glory, they had like lights around their bodies. They felt ashamed and naked. And their immediate reaction was to cover themselves with the fig leaves. That was their way to some way replace or, yes, the lost glory that they had before, because they had bodies that were now exposed to each other. They were not covered anymore. So when we put clothes on our bodies, we just cover the nakedness that we have because of the first sin of the Adam and Eve. You don't see any animal cover themselves like that. At least not intelligent animals. Only man feel the need of covering their bodies. And that means that we have lost something we had from the beginning. We lost the glory that we had that covered our bodies. And we also need to cover ourselves because of the sexual attraction between man and woman. Okay.
Yeah.
So and when you see later on when Noah was naked in his tent, his two sons Shem and Yefet, they thought it was not good that their father was naked in the tent, so they went back and covered him. So we can see this principle from the beginning in the scriptures. And when we will be resurrected, when the Messiah will come back, we will have new clothes. It's written in Revelation 7:9 that we will be clothed with heavenly clothes that will cover our bodies. And it has to do with the ministry of priesthood in the heavenly tabernacle. And we can also see in Luke 8:27, when a man was possessed by a demon, he was naked. He took off his clothes. So you have also the worship of idols and Satan. It's all many times connected with nakedness and fornication. And you know, some of those idols that the Bible mentioned, people worship them by taking off their clothes and made their needs before the idol. Okay, so you can see that you need to cover your body. That has to do. It has to do with holiness. And it also is a connection with the Lord himself. In Psalm 104, verse 2, it says that he covers himself as light, as a cloth of light. So we have a very strong testimony in the scripture that we need to cover our bodies. Okay, the head cover has also to do with the body. But the first place we have to cover the most sensible parts of our bodies. That's very important. And it has not to do with the beauty in first place. It has to do with sanctity to cover ourselves because we lost the glory we had once. Okay, if we see in Exodus 3, verse 1-5, when Moses was in the desert, and the angel revealed to him in the burning bush. The angel told him to take off his shoes because the place was holy. And at that time, Moses was working for his father-in-law as a shepherd. And he went further on in the desert, very long. He went through the desert and came to the place where later the Torah would be revealed in Sinai. And in that climate of the desert, you have to cover your body because the heat and the sun is very, very strong. And also the desert winds are very strong for the body. You need to cover your body. And it's also very important to cover your head in the desert environment, climate. Yeah. And yes. We can see the Bedouins that are shepherds in the south of Israel, in the desert areas, they always cover their heads because of the climate. That means that we have to come to the conclusion that Moses had his head covered, more or less, when he saw the burning bush. And if a uncovered head would be a sign of respect before the Lord and other authorities, the angel would have ordered, told him to take off his head covering. But he didn't. Instead, he commanded him to take off his shoes. And you know that when you take off your shoes, you cannot run so quickly in the sand in the desert. It's very hot, and there are many stones. And that is a sign of submission when you take off your shoes. Slaves and captives in wars in the Eastern cultures many times had to walk bare feet because they that way they couldn't run away so quickly. So when Moses kept his head covering, it was not considered in any way as a lack of respect. It was the opposite. It was a sign of respect. And also when the Eternal revealed to Moses as Abraham's, Isaac's, and Jacob's God, he covers his face because he had fear of looking at God. That's in Exodus 3:6. So you can see that when a person is close to God, he covers his head, he doesn't take off his head covering. He covers himself. That's a very big difference, right? You can see the same principle in first book of Kings, chapter 19, verse 13. When Eliyahu heard this, he covered his face with them. It says here, and it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What does you hear, Elijah? So we can see here that Elijah, when he experienced that the presence of the Lord came, he covered himself with a mantle. So that's the way to react when God reveals himself, to cover yourself. And in this case, it was his face. And you can also see this principle in Isaiah 6, 1 to 4. You have those burning angels with six wings. It says that they used two to cover their face, and two wings to cover their feet, and two wings to fly. And they said, Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzevot, Meloch Ol Haaretz Kevodo. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. So you can see here that the angels also cover their faces and their feet. They have four wings to cover themselves and two wings to fly. That means that in the spiritual world, it's so important to cover yourself before the God Almighty. Okay. The word that is translated as feet, it means all the legs. So their legs, they covered all the lower part of their body with two wings. And the contemporary English version wrote, they covered their bodies with two more. Okay, so the custom to cover yourself, your body, is presented in the scripture, in the biblical revelation, as a natural reaction when you meet the eternal or when you are serving in His presence. I don't know if you have the same feeling in your countries when the presence of the Lord is manifesting himself, many times you just feel like covering your head, your face with your hands. I don't know if you have the same feeling. When the presence of the Lord comes, you want to cover your face, right? Do you have that feeling?
Yes.
That's a very natural feeling. So when you are in the presence of the Lord, you should cover yourself, not expose your body, right? So when you have something on your head, both man and woman, you give a message of respect and submission towards heaven and also towards people around you. And when we speak about the covering of a woman, it's the same principle as for the man. It's a sign of submission under your authorities. You know, traditionally, I don't know if in your country the tradition, old tradition, was that the non-married woman did not cover her head on this the same way as the married woman. There are many, many cultures that have this old, very, very old tradition that non-married women don't cover their heads, but the married women cover their heads.
Yes.
And you can see it in Song of Songs 4. Let's read those verses. Song and Songs 4, verse 1 and verse 3. If you read the verse 1 there, it says, Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are doves behind your veil. Behind your veil. This is a wedding message when they are getting married. Verse 3. Yeah. Your lips are like a scarlet thread and your mouth is lovely. Your cheeks are like halves of pomegranate. Behind your veil. So you see, when she gets married, she covers herself. And it's very common in marriage. I don't know if the old tradition in Ghana is the same, but many cultures have the tradition of the in the wedding, the woman has a veil covering her face. And you can see that in Genesis 29, when Jacob, he couldn't see his who the wife was. His, you know, he was cheated. It was the older sister, Leah, and he thought it was Rachel, because she was covered when they got married. And you can also see when in Genesis 24:65, when Rivka in Hebrew, she covered herself when she knew the first time she said, "Who is the man walking there on the field?" And the servant said, "That is my Lord." That means that was Isaac. It was her future husband. Then it says she covered her face. So
yes.
That is when she was not married, she didn't cover herself. But when she now was entering to the process of marriage, she started to cover her face before her husband. So in the Semitic cultures and also other cultures, the traditional sign that a woman was married was that she had some form of head covering. And you can see also in the Mishnah, it's a very old Jewish law, Ketuvim 72a, that a man had the right to divorce from his wife without giving her the money that was established in the ketubah, the contract of marriage, if she showed herself publicly without covering her hair. So that was a man could even divorce his wife, and that's Jewish law, if she went out of the house with her head uncovered. And these rules are very, very, very old. You can see them very clearly in Numbers chapter 5, verse 18. "And the priest shall set the woman before the Lord and unbind her hair of the woman's head and place her in her hands. Place in her hands the grain offering of remembrance, which is the grain offering of jealousy. And in his hand the priest shall have the water of bitterness that brings the curse." You know, this law has to do with the husband who is jealous with his wife. He thinks that his wife was not faithful. So he has the right to take her to the priest and to give her something to drink. And if she was unfaithful, she will come under curse. And in that context, we have this text that speaks about that the priest has to release or unbind the hair of the woman's head. That means that a married woman was, and in Jewish rules and Jewish culture and Jewish halakha, that means the Jewish law, she has to cover her head every time she shows up to a man who is not her husband or her father or her sons. But any foreign man, she has not the right to show her head uncovered, because that is a very strong sign of disrespect of her husband. In this case, the priest in the temple had to take off the head covering of the woman, because this was the time when she had to be tested if she was faithful to that covenant that was represented by the head covering. So when she drank this water, if she had been faithful, nothing would happen, and she would even have more blessing and get more children. But if she had been unfaithful, both she and the man that she sinned with both would die in a few days because of the curse. So we see in this very specific moment, the priest had the commandment to take off this woman's head covering. This was a sign of exposure of, I don't know if that is the right word, but that is not a normal situation for a woman to take a married woman. We are not speaking about non-married woman, just the married woman. She has to have, if she's Jewish, she has to have her hair covered as a sign of that she's married. And this was a shame for her to be exposed in this way before this priest and in the temple. Okay. When we come to this kind of things, how shall we relate to these old cultural biblical principles? It's written in Jeremiah 6:16 that we should ask for the old ways and walk on the old ways, and we will have peace in our souls. And Yeshua also spoke about these words in Matthew 11:28-30. And now we can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where we have the most extensive text speaking about this subject. So please come with me to 1 Corinthians 11. Now, let's see, verse 2-16. I command you, because you remember me in everything and maintain the traditions, even as I deliver them to you. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is the Messiah. I don't like the word Christ. It's a very twisted word, so I use the word Hebrew word Messiah. The head of a wife. The head of every man is the Messiah. The head of every wife is her husband. And the head of the Messiah is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered, and this is not a good translation, we will come back to this. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. But every wife, and that is very important, the word wife here, that's a good translation, because Rabbi Shaul, the Apostle Paul, is not speaking about a non-married woman, only the married woman. So that's a good translation. Every wife who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. That means her husband. Since it is the shame, and if her as if her head were shaven. For if a wife will not cover her head, then she should cut her hair short. But since it is disgraceful for a wife to cut off her hair or shave her head, let her cover her head. For a man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. We will come back to this part later on. For a man was not made from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman for man. So, that is why a wife ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. So this is not a cultural thing. This is an angel thing. This is a spiritual thing. This is a very strong verse 10 here. A wife ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. It has to do with the spiritual world. Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of woman. For as woman has made for man, as woman was made from man, so man is now born of woman. And all things are from God. Judge for yourself. Is it proper for a wife to pray to God with her head uncovered? And the answer should be, of course not. Does not nature itself teach you that if a man wears long hair, it is a disgrace for him? But if a woman has long hair, it is her glory. For her hair is given for her as a covering. If anyone is inclined to be contentious, we have no such practice, nor do the churches or the congregations of God. First of all, we have to take away a misunderstanding of this text because the translation is not good here. Verse 4 is not correctly translated. It says, if a man... Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head. Okay? I have passed through about 25 different Christian translations, and I've seen that all except two say that a man dishonors his head by covering his head or have something on his head when he prays or prophesies. Is it really what Rabbi Shaul means here? If we have seen a lot of scriptures speaking about that a man honors the Lord by covering his head or his face in his presence. Mm-hmm. How should Paul now teach the opposite? I think this is a very important thing. We cannot just base our teachings on one scripture. And we will go to the Greek text and see what it really says. There is an English Christian translation that who gives another interpretation or translation of these verses. It's the literal translation of the Holy Bible. So it tries to be very literal. It says, every man praying or prophesying, having anything down over his head, shames his head. And that means that his head is the Messiah, right? Please note that this translation, which has the name that is literal translation, It doesn't say that it's a shame for a man to have something on his head when he prays or prophesies. It says it's a shame for a man to have something hanging down over his head when he prophesies or prays before people. We can see there is a translation called Messianic Renewed Covenant. It says, every man praying or prophesying, having anything down over his head, shames his head. It's the same translation as the literal translation of the Holy Bible. There is another messianic translation called the Complete Jewish Bible. It says like this, every man who prays or prophesies wearing something down over his head brings shame to his head. Another English translation, Hebraic root version, is based on the Aramaic text, and it's probably, it's very old, but I don't think that Paul wrote to the Corinthians in Aramaic, but in Greek, but this is an Aramaic version of Corinthians. It says, every man who prays or prophesies while his head is veiled dishonors his head. The literal meaning of the word in Greek is wearing something down over his head. This is the literal translation, and it is used here to show that Shaul is talking about wearing a veil, not a hat. This has to do with the man's head covering. So we have to make a very important statement here that the text that Paul wrote has nothing to do with head covering that we Jews are using. It's a veil that women used in that time. We can see in 2 Samuel, chapter 15, verse 30 and 31. Let's read that text. King David, he fled from his son Absalom. There was a civil war, and King David went up on the Mount of Olives. And there we can see verse 30, what David did. David in Hebrew. But David went up the ascent of the Mount of Olives, weeping as he went, barefoot and with his head covered. With his head covered. And all the people who were with him covered their heads. And they went up weeping as they went. And it was told David, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, please turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Here we can see that that King David, together with his people that fled from Absalom, they went barefooted up the hill, the Mountain of Olives, with their heads covered. And this was a sign of deep sorrow and shame. All the people that was with King David did the same. And when he knew that his best counselor, Ahithophel, had come together with Absalom, he prayed to the Eternal that his counsel would be foolishness. And the Eternal listened to his prayer and made Ahithophel's counsel fall to the ground. And they did not follow Ahithophel's counsel. You can read about the story. So if it would be a shame for a man praying publicly as the King David did here, why, then David would have produced shame over the Eternal in this moment. But he prayed with his head covered and his feet without shoes. So it was not a disgrace or dishonor for David to cover his head and pray at this moment. And you know, the scripture cannot be against scripture. It has to be a unity between all the scriptures. So you have to interpret the writings of Shaul, the Apostle Paul, in harmony with the rest of the scriptures. So we can see that King David prayed with his head covered, and God answered his prayer. Okay? And also you can see in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18, when it speaks about the helmet of salvation, that's also kind of head covering for a man. It's in the heavenly world. So there are heavenly truths, and something is covering your head in the spirit. there could be also, when we cover our heads like this with a kippah or some kind of head coverings as men, there is a harmony between what we have in the spiritual world and what we are expressing in the physical world. Because in my spirit, I am covered. My head is covered with the helmet of salvation. So when we cover our heads like this, we are proclaiming that we have our heads in the spiritual world also covered and protected. And it's also it has also to do with the warfare, and that's also what we read about the woman. The married woman has to cover her hair because of the angels. It has to do with the spiritual reality, not only a physical one. Okay, so the problem that Paul is writing about is a man using a veil like a woman. And it has nothing to do with his head covering as a man. It has to do with using clothes like a woman, because the Torah, the law of God, is forbidding a man to wear women clothes and a woman to use man clothes. So this is a kind of he's correcting a very common practice in Corinth. That was a city with much prostitution and also man prostitution. Men, they put on women clothes and they were man prostitutes. So it was a common practice in Corinth that men could use women clothes. And that is the problem in this text. You have to be careful not to dress as a woman if you're a man, he says. Don't cover your head as a woman. If you do it like a woman, you will be ashamed for your head. That is the Messiah. But if a woman covers her head like that, that's a glory. When we speak about man's head covering, the Jewish custom in some times and some places has not been so strict for men as for women. In the Talmud, Shabbat 156b, we can read about a rabbi's mother when he was a boy. She did not permit his son go without covering his head, because she wanted to show the people of Israel that they were not under the influence of the planets. Because the astrologers had said to her that her son would be a thief. So she said to him, cover your head so that the fear of heaven will be over you, and ask for mercy. It's interesting to see that this woman considered it a way to show fear or respect for the eternal, having something on the head. This is the most important thought in Jewish thinking about head covering. The one who covers his head shows respect. That's why many Jews, during hundreds of years, they have covered their heads and even their faces as a sign of fear for heaven, especially during prayer and deep studies. You can also see that in Chagigah 14b, Rosh Hashanah 17b, Ta'anit 20a, Kiddushim 31a, Shabbat 118b. That's from the Talmud. For the sages, this is a necessity, Kiddushim 8a. For the scholars, sometimes it was considered as pride if they put something on their head, because they were comparing themselves with the sage, with the rabbis. That you can find in Kiddushim 29b. If you look at old pictures from Egypt and Babylon, and also in the old synagogue in Dura, Europos, that's East Syria from the 3rd century, you can find pictures of Israelites and even Jews without covering their heads. In Talmud, you can read, many cover their heads sometimes, and sometimes they do not. But women's hair are always covered, and children never cover their heads. That is in Talmud, Nedarim 30b. In the Babylon society, there was a custom to use head covering as a sign of respect and even as a sign of service to the authorities. The one who served the authorities used different kinds of head coverings to show their ministry as servants of the authorities. That's why some people consider the Jewish custom to cover their heads as something coming from Babylon and that the Jews took from there. But we have to ask ourselves if that was the custom that the Jews started to follow in Babylon or if they already had it before the Babylonian captivity. In Ezekiel 24, 17 and 23, you can read about the Jewish man that used head coverings before the Babylonian captivity. During the Second Temple time, when Yeshua was here, the Jews in the land of Israel didn't have the same strict custom to use head coverings during the prayer as the Babylonian Jews, who were the majority. In the land of Israel, it was permitted, even during prayer and the priestly blessing in the synagogue, to not cover the head. That is written in Jewish encyclopedia. This custom was followed by certain rabbinical authorities in Spain and France during the Middle Age, and it says that some of them prayed without covering their heads. The Ashkenazi rabbis, that means the Jewish from the Central North Europe, they were more strict in this question and followed the custom from the Babylon sages that always use head covering as a sign of fear for heaven, fear from heaven, fearing God, God-fearing. So from the 13th century and further on, it was very common that the Sephardic Jews they covered their heads before the Eternal. And when Yosef Karo wrote the Jewish laws in the book Shulchan Aruch in the 16th century, it was a common rule that was accepted by everybody for all the Jewish men to wear something on the head in respect for the Eternal. Then we can ask ourselves, how was it in the time of Yeshua? According to Alfred Edersheim, during the Second Temple time, it was a lack of respect walk outside of the house pass a person without covering your head. There was a very normal head covering called sudar. It was a cloth that was surrounded your head like a turban. Or they could use a smaller thing like a hat. The sudar was normally used by the rabbis in a special way to make them different from the rest. So when Yeshua was here, he probably used a sudar, is in a kind of turban on his head, or probably a maforet, who was used to cover the head and covered the neck, the back part of the head and the axles. It has also to do with the practical thing with the sunlight. In Israel, most of the time that we have so much sun, so you have to cover also your neck and your shoulders from the sun. Okay. Let's go to Complete Jewish Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6 and 7. It says, for if a woman is not veiled, I will change this one. For if a woman is not veiled, let her also have her hair cut short. But if it is shameful for a woman to wear her hair cut short or to have her head shaved, then let her be veiled. For a man indeed should not have his head veiled, because he is the image and glory of God, and the woman is the glory of man. Okay? It says in verse 10 here that is why a wife ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Because of the angels. That is a very interesting statement. So it's not only a sign of culture or social status. It has to do with the spiritual world. It has to do with the connection with the angelical world. It says that she has a symbol of authority because of the angels. She has authority. She has the right to pray or prophesy in the congregation because she is in a relationship of submission regarding her husband. The angels that he mentions here can mean different things. You know, the word angel, it means messenger. Could be men and also heavenly beings. So we can ask ourselves, what kind of angels does Rabbi Shaul speak about? Could be the angels in heavens, I believe so. It could also be the preachers or the leaders of the congregations who were in the congregations and saw these women. I believe that it has to do with the spiritual world. It could be speaking about the angels of the Lord or the angels of Satan. That means that if a woman has a sign on her head that she is married, then she is protected and she has authority to prophesy and pray publicly. But if she takes off the sign of authority, the sign of being married, and that is a sign of rebellion, and she separates herself in a physical way in her clothing from her husband, she's outside of the order, the establishment that heaven established and is mentioned in verse 3 in this chapter, where it says that God is the head of the Messiah, and the Messiah is the head of man, of the man, and the man is the head of the woman, and that means the wife. The head of the of a wife is her husband. So the woman who does not respect this order will be exposed for a danger in the spiritual world, especially if she prays or prophesies publicly. The angel that the Eternal have sent to protect her cannot do it because she is not in line with the Almighty's shadow. She went outside. She's in rebellion. Then he cannot give his angels the commandment to protect her in all her ways, as Psalm 91 verse 2, 4, 9, 11, 12 says. She has come out to a dangerous area, and the evil spirits have then the right to influence over her, because the demons have the right to work where there is rebellion and disobedience, according to Ephesians 2:2. So the married woman always has to have something covering her head as a sign that says that she is married and she is in a right relationship to that order that the Eternal established. Then she will be protected, as it is written in the Psalm 91, because then she is under the shadow of the Almighty. And it says in Psalm 34, verse 8, that the angel of the Lord camps around the one who fears him, and he delivers them. The married woman who covers her head in respect and fear for heaven, she will have a special protection from the angels. So the first thing we have to see is that when you use head covering, it has to do with submission and respect. The second thing we can see is that it has to do with the authority to serve in a ministry. The Concise Encyclopedia of Greek and Roman mythology speaks about how they offered to Saturn the temple with uncovered heaven according to the Greek custom. The Greeks sacrificed and worshipped their gods in their temple with their head uncovered. But it was strictly forbidden for the children of Israel to sacrifice or worship the only true God with uncovered heaven heads in the temple in Jerusalem. You can see it in Leviticus 10 verse 6 and 21 verse 10. It's the same word used in these text as for the woman who was accused of being unfaithful in Numbers 5:18. So when the worship service was instituted in the desert, all the priests received the order from heaven to use head coverings in the holy service. Exodus 28:4, 40 and 43. There is this very interesting word, Hebrew word migba'ah, in Exodus 28:40. It speaks about the normal priest's head coverings, migba'ah. It means a hat like is like half a sphere, like this. Just like a kippah, the Jewish yarmulke, quite bigger than we normally see on the Jewish people. It comes from the word Giv'ah, that means hill, small hill. So the priests in this temple had their head coverings very similar to what we have today, like kippah, the Jewish people use as God-fearing Jews use today. So the priests had head coverings when they served in the temple. So the purpose with their clothes was in the first place to be honor and beauty, it says in Exodus 28:2. So serving the Eternal of in a public way with head covering means that you will honor and give pride to the Lord and not shame and dishonor. So the clothes that the priests had also speak about the right to minister. There was a power and authority in their clothing, the priest's clothes. Without the clothes, it was forbidden to serve the Eternal as a priest. It was very dangerous to come close to the Eternal with the heads uncovered. You can see that in Leviticus 10, verse 6. The anointing for the service was in the clothes. This is a very important thought that is the basis for Yeshua's word in Luke 24:49. It says, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. So this is a clothing. The spirit is a clothing. It's a priestly garment that gives you the power from heaven to serve as a minister in the heavenly tabernacle. This is very interesting. This is a subject that we could speak several hours about. So when you are serving in the heavenly tabernacle, you have to use priestly clothes, and you also have to be covered on your spiritual head, like the priests in the temple. Then it would be very normal to have something also in your physical body that reflects what you have in your heavenly service, right? Of course, Yeshua, when he was resurrected, he was made the high priest in the heavenly tabernacle. And the high priest had a head covering. So my Lord, my Messiah in heaven, the high priest, my Father, heavenly spiritual Father in one sense, he has a head covering. And we as priests, sons of him, we are also using head coverings in our spiritual body. But if we do it in our physical body, it's just a reflection of what we have in our heavenly ministering body. So when you have something on your head, you have the authority to serve, the authority to minister. And that's the thought Rabbi Shaul is speaking about that the woman, the married woman, she has to have an authority on her head. That means that she has the right to pray and the right to prophecy in public because she has something on her head. She's protected, she is submitted, and she has authority to do it. Also, we have the head covering as a sign of group identification. So if you, many people have caps from different football teams and things like that. You can have a special labels that can connect you with some group of people, and this is a way also of identification. If you have some kind of head coverings, you are identified with that group of people. So when you have a kippah, like Jewish, you are saying, I'm a Jew. I am a part of the Jewish club, the Jewish people. So it's just a sign of being a part of a kind of group of people also. So if we make a summary, we can say that the head covering is a sign of respect and submission to our Heavenly Father and His Messiah and the authorities that we have over us. And the head covering, both for men and for women, is a sign that I want to be like my heavenly high priest and let my thoughts being directed by his mindset. It is also a sign that I have received authorities to stand in the service of Messiah as a priest before the Eternal, according to the order of Melchizedek, as his representative, and I am ruling together with him in that area of authority that he has given me to rule over. And it's also a sign that I am a part of the people, some connection with the Jewish people. And I want to live in harmony with those, with that heavenly culture that God gave to the Jewish people. And it gives me a sign of identity. Now, I don't think that it is good for a non-Jew to use skull cap like this, kippah, in public. If you want to do it on your own, in your home, praying, that's okay. If you do it in the meetings, and everybody knows that you are not a Jew, that's okay. But don't use it publicly, because they will believe that you are a Jew, and then you don't behave as a Jew, and then you will be a shame for the Jewish people, because you will do things that are forbidden for the Jewish people. Then don't use kippah if you're not a Jew. But you can use other kind of head coverings. There are many types of head coverings you can use instead of the kippah, the skull cap that Jews are using. But the married woman, we have to respect what Apostle Paul says. He was the apostle for the Gentiles, sent directly by Yeshua to establish rules in the congregations that are based on the resurrection of the Messiah. With the newborn people, he had the authority to establish what rules have to be in those congregations. So 1 Corinthians 11 is a very important text for the non-Jewish congregations. And there we can see that the married women, they have to have something on their heads when they are praying and if they are prophesying. And the word prophesy, it's also including preaching and teaching and speaking in public. So if we have women ministering in our services, they are married, they have to cover their heads. That's a ruling from Yeshua, from heaven, through the Apostle Paul, who was sent for the Gentiles. Now, the question is, when they are not praying or prophesying, do they need to cover their heads in public? We don't have a word from the apostolic scriptures about that. So we cannot go outside of that and say it's obligated for the non-Jewish woman to always cover her head when she is in public. We cannot say that. We can only say that the scriptures say that she has to cover her head when she prays or speaks in a spiritual way in public. That we can say. So what shall we say though? What rules shall we put in our congregations? I would start to say that if the married woman start to cover her head when she is in the meeting, when she is praying, also in her home, when she is praying, it's a matter of respect, it's a matter of submission, it's a matter of humility, and it's a way to reach God. She should do it also when she is alone, when she's praying. And that's the first step. And I believe it's beautiful and good for all the married women to cover their head or have some kind of signal. Even if she doesn't cover all her head or her hair, but has some kind of sign that she is married in all public areas when she is showing her head to another man. I think that's a very good rule that we should put in all our congregations.